Nothing's going to beat Hawks, man.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With Shane Swagger.
The incredible Hawkinson. Smash.
Smash you!
And Michael Fanaro.
You're a closet Philly fan.
Dude, I hear Fly Eagles Fly and it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Because you're like, why am I singing this?
Stop.
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
Dude, Zers, did this change your Twitter handle? Minshew lover or can't get enough Minshew?
We're just having fun and we're working, man. That's it, man.
Hey, now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we roll. Hey, now we roll.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 296. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanaro.
Yo, it's like a reverse 69.
Okay, we'll jump right into that, back to back.
I was trying to get a reaction out of TJ. I'm going to see, like, just
you already heard him chuckle. You probably recognize that laugh. We are here tonight with Two Drink Minimum. From everywhere,
what is up,
Fantasy Football Breakdown, Super Flexible Podcast. You've all heard his voice. He should be here with us more often.
Oh, yeah.
He said he's coming on for 100 and 101 because it's to be determined which is more special.
Both. I'm stoked to be on 96 as well, though.
101 jokes.
On that show. Stay tuned.
So what are we doing tonight, Fanaro? We're going to talk a little bit about rookies and COVID-19.
what a way to introduce that. Yes, we're going to talk about the thing that no one wants to talk about, the possibility of an absent 2020 NFL season.
And you're right, we don't want to talk about it, but I'm so excited to.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's fun to talk about, and I think it would be naive to not assume that we might be looking at least a no training camp or even a season that doesn't have a full amount of games in it. I think you have to at least like take a peek at that and see what kind of strategies come from that, either in your startups that you're doing now or with your rookie picks. All of it, like, it all has implications. It's like a ripple effect. If there's any kind of even if training camp, I would be concerned if training camp was incredibly reduced. I would love if preseason would just not exist.
Yeah,
which I think, I mean, and that
could
happen.
Affect a lot too, like training camp, not only the rookies but the any free agents that maybe are moving, even like Brandon Cooks moving today, somebody like that that is in a new offense might not have as much time to get with their quarterback or get to know the plays, whatever their position is, like Austin Hooper in Cleveland, those kind of guys.
Yep.
So we're going to talk people a little changing. Bit about that. And then we got so many good responses about who would you rather, and we're going to throw that at Two Drink Minimum.
Yes.
And well, then a special surprise just for Fanaro.
Oh, crap.
That's maybe, right. Maybe had a little something to do with that, but it'll be fun.
He heard it here first.
That's right.
Oh, I had a surprise for Two Drink at the end of the show. I don't Perfect. Know if we have a time for a double surprise.
Double surprises.
I did. I had a surprise of my own.
I have time for a double.
Might have to do the double two drink.
Oh, can you give me that sounder?
I can.
Double two drink.
That's so awesome. I just want that as my phone. That's just going to be my ringtone.
I'll send you the file.
That is pretty awesome. I'll take it too.
Everybody's going to have that as their ringtone.
Yep.
So we're hoping that this has no effect, right? You want to get right into it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, does anyone hope that there's any sort of truncated season?
Absolutely not, dude. Like, I'm hoping that they play somehow. But I think it's very probable that the season's interrupted somehow, whether it's shortened or no training camp or no season at all.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that way as a realist, right? You have to sit there and think, okay, well, bare minimum, I don't know how they have these early games with fans in the stands, for sure. I can't see that. It doesn't affect me as a fan watching the game. I, you know, as a fantasy football player, it doesn't bother me to not have fans either. But I think that's a bare minimum effect. I think another bare minimum effect is that these OTAs and possibly training camp gets truncated. And then now you're thinking about injuries. You're thinking about, as you had said, Swags, like these rookies that are getting drafted that need to learn playbooks, that need to learn how to play in the NFL, that need to learn their you know, relationships with their quarterbacks, their offensive line. All of that is already a big problem for some rookies coming in. Some rookies pick it up right away. Nope. Problem, and they're the ones that shine, and there's other ones that just can't get it. They have a you know, a longer learning curve, if you will. So if we're going to truncate that learning curve, there's going to be a lot less successful rookies coming into this season than probably would have if we weren't dealing with what we're dealing with.
Yeah, TrueDrink, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'm with you guys. It definitely leans itself to those teams that are already established, maybe don't have a lot of pieces on offense. Moving, you know, I'm a huge Sammy guy for a long time. I wonder if that's just in the back of the Chiefs organization mind. Like, let's just keep all our guys. We got Sammy to restructure. You know, let's not have a lot of new pieces. Didn't they re-sign DeMarcus Robinson too?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, you know what? Let's just keep what we have. You know, maybe they had a running back or not. We saw him add DeAndre Washington. That's here nor there in this situation. But you know, like the Ravens, their offense is kind of set. But yeah, like Cincinnati getting in Burrows there, what you think? You know, Miami taking a quarterback, whichever one that is, the Chargers, you know, taking a quarterback, all those guys are going to struggle early on, even if this kind of gets back to normal, you know, sooner than later, because they're so scheduled in how they go through these rookie mini camps and learning everything from the playbook. So
with Burrows, do you think that that's part of the reason that Andy Dalton's still there, or they're just playing a little chicken and trying to make him seem a little bit more valuable?
Maybe. I think Dalton is also a zero dead cap against the Bengals, so they have no reason to cut him right now. It's not charging them anything to keep them on the books, I think, at this point. You know what I mean? So
well, they're paying why not keep that there? Million.
Right, but they can cut them and get out like free and right. Clear is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So maybe they do that to play that game and see if somebody really does want to give the farm and move on up. I mean, to be honest, even though Burrow's an Ohio kid, if Miami, please God, don't do this, but if Miami, they have three first-round picks. If they wanted to give all those and go give Burrow, Cincinnati wouldn't sit there and say, maybe we should do that. So there's no reason for teams to show their hand right now, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting to that way.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that situation's a little tainted, though. Like, you have to think that Andy Dalton wants out of Cincinnati after last year.
Sure.
I think a lot of the, you know, we were talking about the amazing quarterback carousel there is this offseason, and we all thought the dominoes would fall after Brady signed, and nothing fell after Brady signed. And I think it's because there's just a shortage of landing spots. So something's going to have to change. Either a team's going to not get that quarterback that they're depending on in the draft, or somebody's going to move up and snag the guy they wanted, or there's going to be an injury. And I think, again, with a shortened training camp, that can happen. So we saw like a huge Eagles trade way back. Help me out, guys. Eagles got rid of somebody for a first round pick. I believe it was to Minnesota. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's only like 3 years ago. Don't got it. Rams QB. Often hurt, bum knees. Bradford. Yeah, Bradford got like a they got like a first round pick in the offseason for that. I think these guys have a pedigree. Dalton, Cam, all Winston, where they're just waiting, because right now, honestly, there's nothing there that's going to give them what they're looking for.
Well, what they're looking for, do you think that part of it too is like the going back to COVID and that situation there, like is part of that problem too, that they can't have the proper physicals and teams can't evaluate somebody like Cam Newton, or
I think
they're just waiting for the draft. Yeah.
In Cam's case, yes. It certainly isn't Winston or Dalton's case. I think Dalton's respected in the NFL. I think Dalton gets a job. I think he's just holding out. I think TrueDrink nailed it. Like, you know, this Bengals don't have to do shit. You know, they can just sit on that, and then Dalton's not in a great spot with those other two guys out there. And so it's kind of like, well, let's just see what happens, play this waiting game. And everybody's playing the waiting game. We all are. we want to know what's going on. So there's a lot of doubt going on with everything that's going on in this world. So I think it's a special time, and it's a special free agent quarterback class with a decent amount. I think there's a legit five names that could be drafted, you know, in the first round.
Yeah. So then you have here in the notes, will the 2020 and 2021 class start the season at the same time? Like, will they start in 2021 together?
Yeah. So like, there was like, how much no will NFL. This
impact like yeah. NFL teams today and even yeah. the current signings, like the 1 year signings and stuff?
Yeah. So that's if there's no NFL season, which I do think that the possibility of that is on the lower side. But how interesting would it be to see two classes go in at the same exact time? And then the 2021 class would be blind without a college season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to imagine if the NFL doesn't go on, you know, college isn't playing either. So
hell no. Yeah. And I have no idea what that could possibly – I tried to think about what implications that would have. I think it would have – strong implication on the 21 class.
Well, I mean, and Finero, just for example, there's the Devy League that you and I are in together. I have the 101. Have you happened to see who I'm taking with that? Have you looked at the who's available in that? Anyway, no, in that depleted no. Devy League, or so oh, we actually, call it, I'm taking yeah, Joe Burrow. Did. And that wouldn't have happened without a 2020 season or a 2019 season, sorry, that we just had. Right, like. Right. He wouldn't have been the automatic 101 if we didn't just have the 2019 season. So without a 2020 season, we don't get to see some of those guys that might come up. They might not have a chance. And then do they have to stay in college again, or are they eligible?
Right. Maybe 3 years removed from high school. So technically the rule is they could go in.
So
doesn't have to be, you know, college years played. So,
but yeah, I have a 101 where there's Joe Burrow available. Oh no,
I've heard that a lot.
League, but yeah, you know what I mean.
I've heard that quite a bit in those leagues where he fell through the cracks. He seemed like every year there's one or two guys that just kind of arrive out of nowhere.
That's a different one. That's a different
league. Flag. Yep, it yeah. is. Yeah,
because I know. Oddly enough, Burrow got picked very late in that draft, and I considered him. And I have no idea why I did. I considered him because if you remember, that draft was incredibly slow.
Yeah.
And went into the college season. And I remember reports kind of coming out saying, where the hell did this guy come from? And there was a part of me that late in the draft that was just like, okay, well, what if he's a thing? Like, I should probably just pick him up. And I waited. I have no idea who I picked up. It was probably next to nobody. But I regretted it a ton. So I knew as soon as you said, oh, I think Burr was available, I'm like, nah. Mm-mm. I know I passed. Yeah,
it's a different league, yeah. But I mean, there's some what I would call sharp people in that league, and
absolutely,
I'm getting him at 101, which is pretty awesome. Yeah,
yeah, very awesome. High value in a deep.
I was surprised when I looked. I was like, huh, I wonder who my options are even going to be. I was thinking it would be like one of the deeper wide receivers that hit or something, and no, Burrow's there.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So you don't have that. I mean, I don't know. It would change a lot.
Oh, it would change a ton. There would be, like I said, a ripple effect across. I mean, I can't even imagine two rookie classes combining. I mean, Rookie Fever would be on fire that following season. But T-Drink, what the hell would we talk about with no season?
All the tape we were still talking about now.
Yeah,
can you do that? Can you do that for a year?
Finero, you can talk.
Oh yeah, I can talk. Don't worry about that.
Last week you guys had Ryan McDowell on, right?
Yep.
And then I listened to him on Dynasty Blueprint with Scott Fish, and they were talking a little bit into this, so it was cool to see it on the show sheet, you know, tonight for this one. Rookie drafts. Normally we do that right after the NFL draft, right?
Yep.
Or a lot of people like to do them like as soon as you can after the NFL draft is over.
Yep. One of mine is scheduled for May 15th.
I was going to say, are you still planning to do it right after the NFL draft? Or are we trying to push it out a little bit, not knowing what's going on now?
Yeah, I have a.
And then their talk was that July supplemental draft for the NFL. What if there is no college football season? Yep. Then are we getting those 2021 guys, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Travis Etienne, you know, Rondell Moore, those guys into the supplemental draft? And then how are you going to do that in your dynasty leagues with your rookie drafts? How do we determine that?
I thought about adding that to the show sheet is like, you know, what do commissioners do? Because we're at that point where we need to start making decisions. And if we're not making decisions, we're at least feeling out the rest of the league to see how they feel. Because like I said, I have mine scheduled for May 15th and my home league, we all still get together for that. And that's not happening. Right. We're all getting together at a bar on March 15th or May 15th. That's not happening. Right. So that's already over. So like, is the hope that, you know, without training camp and stuff like that, that really drafting or getting together maybe in June is realistic? I don't think anyone can guarantee that either. So we're probably going to do what the NFL is doing. But why rush to it then? Yeah, there's no – right, exactly. There's no reason to rush to it. May is the same as June. June could possibly just be the same thing as July. Plus, you're going to have way more information than we have now. We're talking now about if there is one or if it's going to be affected in some way. To have a rookie draft immediately after the draft at this point is probably naive.
We're thinking worst of the worst here, right? But we're trying to plan for that, not
exactly.
Not wait until that happens. So,
yep.
And if you go ahead and have that, like you want to right after the NFL draft, okay, and that's over, then how do you determine what happens with the supplemental draft?
Right.
There's 2021 picks. After listening to you guys last week and then that show, really to me, I think you just shouldn't have your rookie draft until maybe preseason. I know there are some that do that, and most Dynasty Leagues are still going to do it beforehand.
Right.
But I think minimum you need to wait until after the supplemental draft, because at least we know NFL is moving forward.
Right.
We would know that at that point college is or isn't happening and what those players are going to do. That way your 2021 picks aren't affected in theory for that.
Or your 2020 picks don't feel wasted because all of a sudden there's somebody in the...
Right. Otherwise, you're releasing guys that are legit first half of the first round talent into a waiver pool or something. Right. Stupid like mm-hmm. that, who has the most fab, like it's just gonna it could destroy leagues if you don't figure it out now.
Yeah.
I mean we're also assuming and I want to assume there's a season, but I also want to assume there's a draft on the 23rd. There are more and more reports coming out about doing this virtually and the possibility of getting hacked by another team because everything's virtually, by cheating and not following the rules. And also, there's also like teams that are filing petitions right now that they can't get IT people or sufficient IT people and sufficient IT lines into homes without breaking. That's the stupidest
crap I've ever heard.
It is stupid, but
billionaire owners and GMs.
I totally agree.
Good lord,
stop it. But my point is, there's a lot of people trying to make this not happen. Like even the virtual part of it. Like there's
now I hear them talking about trying to extend it to 10 rounds too. Since they can't meet with all this stuff, right. It's not going to be 7 rounds. Let's go to 10 rounds so we can make more mistakes at the end.
Yep. GMs were already totally against it because they weren't able to perform the proper physicals. You know what I mean? So it's one of these things that the NFL seems as though is they're going to push through on the 23rd. But there's still like this part of my brain that's doing the same thing we're doing with the 2020 season and thinking this better happen. Just to spin it positive real quick, because that sounds like about time for that. How awesome is it going to be to watch the draft if it does happen on the 23rd, which I do think it will. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Like, I'm so excited. Yeah.
We've been void of sports. There's been no sports on TV. All of a sudden, the NFL, the juggernaut of all sports, is going to come out and have their 3-day draft, which they're also going to have a COVID telethon during. I mean, right. I cannot imagine that this is just going to be like unprecedented eyeballs. Like, even like, the people that are just fringely interested in this or interested in the NFL are just going to be like, well, this is sports. It was never sports before. It was a draft, but it's going to be sports. You know, it's going to be the first televised sporting event, if you will. No teams are playing each other, but it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. All the betting and gambling, because people like they're literally betting on esports and like Madden. Like simulation crap right now. Like that's how bad we are.
Yeah, I hear you. Man. And so, honestly, Swags, we're gonna have to find a new Thursday night to record. I don't know if I'm recording on the 23rd of April.
Live Rookie Fever recording of everybody watching everything else going crazy.
Swags is like, why the hell would we not record on the 23rd? Like, well, that actually is one thing that I do suggest the NFL does and extend that clock a little bit because of what teams are going to have to do remotely. I think that clock's got to be extended a little bit. And that would be a great time to have an episode if the clocks are like freaking 20 or 25 minutes long each.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be super long. I don't think
it's that crazy either, super though, long. That there's a world where there's somehow an NFL season and then still maybe not a college season. That might still push people into that.
I think that's legit to talk about. I think the NFL has a lot of money to lose, and college does as well, but not like the NFL does, not like the TV money the NFL has.
Well, college still has, NFL,
yeah, but
has
the money that football makes in it for the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, good point.
Maybe it's not the mass amount of money that the NFL makes, but
still big.
For what football brings in, that just completely runs the NCAA, and they would, I mean, crumple like everything else will, not being open, but like that legit, you know, pays for lots of people to have jobs just because of football alone.
But I mean, in college, you have actual student players that would be going to classes and then onto the field around other players from other schools, and then go back to those classes, and it's a totally different situation, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
I don't know. I mean, aren't NFL players doing the same? They're not going back to college. I absolutely agree.
I think it's crazy. It's close enough, like,
I think, that if you're risking one, the other's fine. I think it's crazy that
fast food places are open for that same reason, because you're just putting a situation where people are flowing through and going all these different separate places. So I'm not going to argue that, but a bunch of younger, naive kids without as much of a controlled situation versus professional NFL players that are being told what to do little bit better coached, probably. I just think it's a little bit more of a controlled environment.
Two drink.
Yeah.
Full season. Give me the percentage.
Full season, like 16 games?
Yep.
17.
I guess it's 17 this season, but yeah.
Is it? I didn't think we were actually getting 17 this year. I thought we got the seventh playoff game. Either way,
full season is at
75%.
Ooh, like it. Swags.
I'm optimistic. My glasses is half.
I'm going to say 0% chance.
A 0% of full season?
Yep.
Wow. There's a huge void between those two opinions.
You should fix it. You can split on my it. Side, though.
I'm going to go
37.5. Is that right? Boom.
No, beat you. I'm a little closer to two drink because I think they're going to get lucky. I think the preseason and off season is going to get like just slammed. I think that's like an 80% chance. But I think the majority of the season, if not all the season, has got a good 65-70% chance of happening.
I hope you guys are
just
right.
Let's just will it to happen. Everybody think good thoughts. It's gonna happen. That's how it works.
Well, I told you, like I like Swags and I talked about this and Two Drink, I know you were part of it. Like I didn't even want to talk something like this into existence. Like that's how afraid of it I am. Like I'm way too invested in an NFL season to not have one. Don't even want to talk about it. But at some point you do. At some point you do have to talk about it. You do some startups. You start drafting vets that might only play on your team for 1 year, and you start going, wait a minute. What if there isn't a season?
It's also one reason I haven't joined any like redraft best balls. Besides the fact that there's no draft, but I've looked at other ones. And then every time I'm almost ready to do a best ball draft, I'm like, what if there's no season? I don't want to even pay any money into this. And then what are they going to do if there's no season? I'm sure they refund it somehow, but I'm sure there's still fees. And so I've just, if there's no season, I don't know. And I know it's thinking about it the wrong way, but I'm willing to do some dynasty leagues and stuff like that. Cause I can still do things to that team and be active. So if you're out, it's a little different, you know, but
that's going to be okay. Swag. It's going to be okay.
I hope you're right. Pat me on the back.
Yeah.
Need a hug. Let's fly over to Dynasty Owners super quick. I need a hug. So bad. And then we'll come back and we will play a little bit of Who Would You Rather?
Nice.
Yes.
DynastyOwner.com is the ultimate dream for all sports and business fans. Dynasty Owner is the only patented fantasy sports game that combines Dynasty Fantasy Football with actual NFL player contracts and salaries. No make-believe or demand-based contract or salaries. There's no off-season at DynastyOwner.com. The rookie draft matters. Free agency matters. Every contract matters. We finished our beta season in 2019, and we are now completing the development of our new mobile app for iOS and Android, and it will be ready in time for this rookie draft season. We are opening up our patented fantasy sports game to everyone in 2020, but we're limiting it to just 1,012-team leagues. Win weekly prizes, seasonal prizes, and compete in the chase for the ring. Come join our 2020 season waiting list at www.dynastyowner.com and start your dynasty. And make sure to tell them that Rookie Fever sent you. Just click on Rookie Fever when you sign up. DynastyOwner.com. There's nothing out there like it.
Check it out. DynastyOwner.com. Mock drafts happening now. No investment. There you go, Swags.
That does
do a mock. Fun. Yeah, do a mock if you're worried about next season.
Maybe I will.
Just do some mocks. No financial investment. Just get on a list. Do some mocking.
I feel like people make a mockery of the mocks.
I can't remember. I just joined startups and mocks. I do some rookie mocks, though. I haven't done like a full-on mock in a long time. I do rookie mocks. I like rookie mocks.
I'm excited to get into this, though. Like, I was looking at the ones that we've already been allowed to see. And
oh, no. I gave all six to you guys. Oh,
okay. But yeah, so no, I was looking at them, and I think, like, there's some that are so close that it's like, huh, I wonder, like, which situation does Finero like better? Because it could be closer. I could even argue that a little bit for both of them. So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, excited about this.
All right. You want to get into it? I know Two Drink does. Look at his face.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I mean, I don't think there's a man more ready than that guy right now.
I played along last weekend. I'm just gonna let you guys know I won. So
I was gonna say, so you got a little jelly, right? Last week you're like, well, why can't I play this game? So we wanted to bring it on again for part two. I chose there's a couple names, but definitely no combinations that are the same. So it's kind of all over the place. We still got some big names. We just don't have maybe. You know, we don't have our Judy's and our CeeDee Lambs.
It's not all the easy ones.
No, definitely not the easy ones. This is, we figure if we're bringing on Two Drink, we got to bring it, right? We can't keep it easy. We gotta make these difficult. And Swags, to your point, you know, how did I feel about these, and where am I? I tried to make these razor thin because I think there was a couple last week where it was a little too easy. So I tried to make these.
I thought you tried to make them razor thin because Two Drink is razor sharp.
Two Drink needs a razor bad during quarantine life right now. Just saying.
Who doesn't? God, I'm gonna get clippers and shave my head.
I've seriously thought about that.
My wife was like,
you're not gonna do that.
Yeah, well, I don't have
gorgeous hair, so it's cool.
Your guys' hair actually, is
in all
great.
Fairness, it's not.
This next segment nice. Is even better.
Follow me if you want to know more about my hair on Instagram. I don't have that.
It would look pretty sweet to have like those like frost the tips again with those glasses now with the tape on the glasses and the frosted tips. Like, yeah. I think you're doing us a disservice.
Oh my God, I forgot about the frosted tips.
If we could have that for episode 100, that would be dope.
If you do frosted tips, you're on.
I'm going to need to drink a lot more before I say yes to that. As that all might right. happen
as we
well.
Might even have to go live for 101.
There you go.
All right. Segment two of the show. Who'd you rather? 2020 Rookie Edition Part 2. Speeding off to the wide receiver segment of segment two. Two Drink. Jalen Reagor, a Twitter favorite to the Broncos. A wonderful landing spot. Or formerly T. Higgins to the Texans, but I don't know if I can go there anymore with the Cooks trade. So I've changed that to T. Higgins to the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh, I actually don't mind it in the Texans, even with the Cooks there, but I like Ooh. The Vikings one a lot more. If okay. we're saying this is the one guy they're bringing to be opposite of Thielen. I like T. Higgins a lot. His slower 40 time than we expected at his pro day, the 4.59. Yes. Dude, 6'4". I'm okay with that. I watched him play. I feel like he runs faster than that. Big dude. I am privy to the bigger guys. I always have been when I kind of scout the wide receivers.
Me too.
Man, Rager's also faster than his 4.47 that he ran. I think if you watch him, you can see that. But a lot of the stuff that they did with him at TCU was bubble screens. Are they going to do that in Denver and utilize him that way? Does he take enough away from Courtland Sutton where he's the guy there?
Yeah, and I mean, they still have no offense.
And let's compare the quarterbacks.
I think it's unpopular maybe, but I'm going to say team Clemson wide receiver. Give him nice. What T. Higgins here.
So that's why it's set up the way it is. Originally, the Texans, which would be a fantastic quarterback and a fantastic landing spot. Now moving on to Minnesota, still a fantastic landing spot, but not quite the same quarterback situation. Still, I would say arguably easily the better quarterback. I think we don't know what we have in Drew Lock yet. I think there's some doubt there. And so that's why it's kind of set up this way, because Rager is in almost any rankings I see, and it sounds like he's a little T. Higgins is a little higher on your list to drink, but
yeah,
as you pointed out, you've noted that like he is a little higher in your rankings than most. So
I'm
so
aware of that.
Yep, absolutely, and I think he needs to be. I'm kind of the same way about Ruggs. He's not on here anywhere, so I want to bring that up again. I just do not feel like Ruggs is the one dimensional player he's been out to be appointed to. So Ruggs is higher on my list, a lot higher. And I think higher on the NFL list too. And with T. Higgins, it's actually a really good point. T. Higgins is projected to be a very high NFL draft pick along with Ruggs, Rager as well. So we're all talking about a very similar tier. Yet when you sit there and look at people's rankings, Higgins and Ruggs are clearly below Rager, and it's not close. And so what do you think, Swags? We haven't heard what you had to say about this situation. Who'd you rather, Rager to the Broncos or T. Higgins to Minnesota?
I think for me, it's Higgins too. And I think a lot of it, and I know that I say a lot that, like, I mean, I've ragged on Cousins a lot. We'll start there. But then I'll say, I mentioned that run game and the Vikings have a lot and how much they go to that. But still the same. We've seen Diggs and Thielen be successful there together in that offense. And I don't know if I'm ready to see Drew Lock support 2 to 3 receivers. Plus Melvin Gordon there. You've got Philip Lindsay. Yeah, that's what I meant as the third one with being.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you've got Philip Lindsay still and Melvin Gordon. And yeah,
I feel like that team's the defense, and they probably look to run the ball just as much as Minnesota at this point.
Stefanski,
you know, offensive shares. Coordinator went to Cleveland, so I don't know that we're going to see Kirk Cousins throw the ball 8 times. Zimmer does want to run the ball and play defense, but that defense is not as good as Denver's. I feel like it's getting worse. So,
would you guys like Higgins even more where I landed him in Houston?
I think so.
I kind of do, but I don't like Fuller, so that makes sense there. Does it feel? It feels almost too easy to give the Texans the not DeAndre Hopkins, but the Clemson wide receiver to fill the void that they got rid of the Clemson wide receiver.
Yep.
The T. Higgins, the 4.59 that he ran at his pro day, that was awful and nobody liked. Do we know, Nuke ran a 4.57? I mean,
yeah. I was just about to say.
These guys aren't very different in a lot of categories. There's definitely a few, like vertical and some of the burst stuff, which does have a huge difference. I'm not saying they're the same kind of guy, but I do tend to like that wide receiver.
What do you guys think about Cooks in Houston?
I mean, I think it arrow helps. Up. I think it helps Watson more than it helps somebody like Cooks. I think that, I don't know, I'm still, mm-hmm. I think it's a good sell window for Cooks probably. He's been so low for such a long time. I mean, still, like, I mean, is he the number one there? Do they end up drafting a wide receiver like we're talking about now? Or it can't get worse than it was last year for Brandon Cooks unless he doesn't play. But
nobody knows what Bill O'Brien's doing, but I would be surprised if they use another draft pick now on a wide receiver. They don't have a first, and now they don't have a second.
Yeah, I agree.
That defense is getting old.
Yeah.
They need to bring some, you know, some other pieces in. They need some more O-line too. So I'd be surprised if they addressed running back or wide receiver at this point in the draft.
I feel like Houston felt like they just brought in their number one.
Yep.
And whether we feel that way from a fantasy point or not,
I have a lot of
like, and they'll take a bonus when Fuller's healthy. You know what I mean? Like that's just a plus.
Yep.
And Randall Cobb still underneath for to probably piss us off in fantasy if we're holding on to him now with Cooks coming there.
Yeah.
I think he'll still end up with a couple of weeks where he's probably the number one wide receiving option there too, just because of how Watson will move it around now. There isn't that new commanding 15 targets a game now.
Absolutely. And I agree with you guys. I think this absolutely does help Watson for sure. I think this helps him more than it probably helps Cook. And Swags, I agree with you. I think this is a nice, if you were already like, oh my God, my Cook shares are just worthless right now, I think this does help you if you're ready to get rid of them.
Yep. What about this next one on the list? I'm excited about this.
Oh, I am too. So this one actually was inspired by a mock where Denzel Mims went to the Giants. This is not something I saw. Mims is a Twitter darling right now, and just rising up in people's hearts. And to see him go to the Giants in some mock that I happened to see, I don't even remember who the hell drew it up, but I liked it. So Denzel Mims to the Giants, or Laviska Shenault, the Swiss Army knife, to the Ravens.
We'll start with Two Drink here again. Yeah, go to the guests.
Man, I do love Mims, and I feel like I like Shenault more than a lot of people. I'm not really worried about the again, another core muscle injury, I think is what he had going on too, when he ran a poor 4.58, pulled up like three quarters of the way down and still ran a 4.58. Shenault is 227 pounds, and as soon as he catches the ball, he looks like a running back. He runs through dudes. It takes multiple guys to bring him down. And the Ravens landing spot is a really awesome landing spot, I feel like, for how they could use him.
You just got giddy there.
I did. Like, that's a great spot.
That's why I put him there.
I've gotten Shenault like early third round and some super flex rookie mocks that I've done this last couple of weeks.
Sure.
If he goes to the Ravens, I'm not going to be able to get him at 303. He probably jumps to early second.
Yep.
I will still pay that. Denzel Mims, I think, would be the Giants one if that happens. It might not be right away because of all the crap we're dealing with. Correct. But, oh, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
This one did exactly what I wanted it to do. you got a sweet, sweet landing spot with a wide receiver that for most, but again, maybe wrongly, is ranked underneath Mims with all the hype with Mims. So I put Mims in a spot where it's crowded, at least for now.
Have you seen Mims' player profile? Like 96th percentile speed, burst, catch radius.
He's a super quiet combine standout.
Baylor wide receiver does him a disjustice because people give that crap. That's not this dude.
Yeah.
Man,
I got super excited.
They comped him to Chris Godwin. I'm not a Chris Godwin guy, but if you see something like that, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But Shenault's comped to AJ Brown.
Make a freaking choice.
No. I'm going to go Shenault. I think I would get more touches on a regular basis. I think Shenault will take a wide receiver reverse. That could spell trouble for Marquise Brown, volume-wise. Not that he was getting a ton there, but I think Shenault would like A.J. Brown end up with some touches in the backfield. He even lined up as a lot of wildcat. We're not going to see that over over there, but still. I'm going to take Shenault.
But it just shows how much Colorado wanted to give him the ball. You know what I mean?
Switch it, and I'll take the Ravens. Like if you put Mims on the Ravens, I think I'm still going to take that.
I
think it's more Giants situation.
Yeah,
not necessarily the two good guys, because I like both these guys a lot.
But you know, don't we both agree?
That's a good one, though.
Do we both agree that Golden Tate's not there next year?
In 2021 season,
there next year, but or they have to cut
2021. He's gone, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
How low is Shepard's value, and with his concussion history? Not to mention the two of them staying on the field.
Like I said, Mims on the Giants is their one. Yeah. I don't know how long it takes, but he's the one there. You got a whole bunch of twos right now.
Yeah, we do.
But man,
where are you guys at? I took like 10 minutes. I feel like to barely make a side.
So I mean, I'm gonna. I'm gonna be
exactly how long
I'm gonna be the right. hey
Hey.
There we go. I'm going to take Mims. And it's.
Board it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, if this happens, I mean, if.
Right. Only if they go to these two teams, we board it.
And, well, deal. I'll board if a high draft pick or first three rounds goes to the Giants and the Ravens, I'll take the guy on the Giants. And here's why. Like, Daniel Jones, 13 games, throws for 3,000, almost 3,100 yards. In 16 yeah. games, Lamar Jackson is 3,100. I think the air games in New York, that's where I want my receivers. I want to go to the quarterback team.
That doesn't have Saquon Barkley. I think we got six games of that because we didn't have Barkley and they had to throw. But I hear you. I mean, Daniel Jones is still going to throw for more than, yeah.
You're still going to see Ingram. You're still going to see Lamar running the ball. I mean, there's still going to be a run game there.
No, I hear you.
But that's why I'm going there. Like, I think that Lamar Jackson is a great fantasy football quarterback. He's going to get 31 to 3,300 yards. I don't know. Am I crazy?
I think there's a ceiling for it to go up higher, but I'll board this one with you when it happens. We can definitely put a fork in that one and wait.
Who throws for more yards this year? And I'm not saying fantasy points, but who throws for more yards, Daniel Jones or Lamar Jackson?
I said Daniel Jones is going to throw for more.
Okay, I missed that. Yeah. So and that's why I want the wide receiver on the Giants.
But the rookie coming in has a good chance to be the second there. And although I like Mims to be the one, a rookie wide receiver is not going to do that right away. And we have all those other pieces there. I think Daniel Jones probably throws for 500 to 900 more yards than Lamar Jackson. But it's spread out a whole bunch of guys if they stay healthy. There's more of them there. I'm not worried about Willie Snead and Miles Boykin. Like, I don't care about those guys.
Is Denzel Mims better than Darius Slayton?
Yeah.
And he had 8 touchdowns his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm taking Mims here.
I love Mims, too. I don't not love him.
Flip him.
Are you still taking Chenault, then, because he's on the Giants?
Yeah.
Yep. Over Mims?
Yep.
Wow. I feel
like
that's wrong.
Yeah, this is exactly the opposite of, like, what you said at the end of yours, where if you flipped it, you'd go to the Ravens with either of them. Like, I'm sticking with the Giants with either of them.
All right, Finero, and I hate this since you're the Giants homer, but you have to decide it because me and Swags are complete opposite.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, I'm going to the opposite with my decision. So, you guys are basing it on landing spot. I'm basing it on the wide receiver I like more, and that's Denzel Mims.
I have Chenault just over Mims, personally. Yeah. So
I'm fair. Going Denzel Mims to the Giants. I hear the argument to say where is the better landing spot, especially when you consider dynasty. So let's forget this year and think maybe next year or the year beyond. And you know, both quarterbacks threw for about 3,000 to 3,100 yards last season. Daniel Jones didn't even play every game last season, so one could easily argue Swag's point on the opportunity. But then I think there's also back to Two Drinks' point, the opportunity. Going more to LaVisca Chenault having more of a wide receiver one role immediately. So for me, I'm rolling out landing spots for now. I'm just saying I like Denzel Mims, and I like him because I like him for the same reason that you liked T. Higgins. You know, I feel like he's more complete. I feel like he's the more prototypical guy. Or LaVisca Chenault scares me a little bit about being gadgety, just a little bit. I love him, and I love him as a kid. I love him as a person. I think he has a great story. But if I'm gonna pick between the two, it's super simple for me. I want Denzel Mims.
Mims feels like a guy that ends up in Carolina to me. He's a Matt Rhule guy. Watch him follow him.
They need another wide receiver.
I'm just saying for what he wants to run, he wants to put 4 and 5 out there. So yeah. I believe that more than the Giants. I'm just saying that's a weird landing spot.
It's a super weird landing spot. That's why when I saw it and I got a little giddy about it, I had to add it to the show sheet. I just thought that would have to be 36 overall. That's the only way they're going to get him, in my opinion. There's no way that they're not going to get him. There's no way that if they don't use a second round pick, they're not getting him. The Giants also are not going to use their first round pick. Right. If they did, they would get, you know, CeeDee Lamb or Judy. They're not doing that. They're going to get an offensive lineman. So 36 overall is possible. It's possible Mims absolutely falls there. And it's also possible the Giants consider that a need with the the injuries that they have at wide receiver and their young quarterback. I mean, it's possible.
It is very possible.
I'm getting up with a lot of LaVisca Chenault on my dynasty teams.
You guys ready for the running back edition of this?
Yeah.
All right. So again, we're staying away from the big names. We're staying away from the triumphant four, as they've been known to be called. We're going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire just outside of the four to the Bucs, which is a fantastic landing spot. But then we also have another pretty damn good landing spot where Zach Moss goes to the Seahawks.
You guys are making me go first again. Yeah, really, every time you guys can do that to Ryan, that's messed up.
Who'd you rather?
CEH is how it's easier for me to say.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not tough.
Potato, potato. For LSU, obviously blew up this last year.
He sure did.
My only issue there, yes, the Bucs landing spot is awesome. CEH can catch very well and get loose on some guys in open field. So we'd love to put him, you know, to take some of that James White kind of, you know, Brady dump off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more I think about that situation, I just wonder, with Brady being there, CEH misses one pass protection. I think he's a willing pass pro. I don't think I'm as high on him in that area as I've heard other people say. And if you miss one pass protection, I think for Brady, you're going to find the bench. Zach Moss is a guy that I feel like gets crapped on a little bit.
A lot.
223 and ran a 4.65, but I saw him have a few 50-yarders, and I even saw him with a 91-yard run.
He can't be much slower than Beast Mode at this point.
Right. I find it hard to believe that you can't be caught on a 91-yarder and you run a 4.65. So maybe this is a game speed kind of guy. I think most people would take CEH here, and that's probably the smarter move. I think I will take what Zach Moss can give me right away.
So long-term, who are you more worried about in these team situations, Ronald Jones or somebody like Chris Carson and Rashad Penny, who's an afterthought at this point? Because you have to think a little bit about that too, right?
And maybe it helps those guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire
and Ronald Jones, that's a pretty good fit.
Yeah. Sure.
And maybe the season not starting on time helps guys like Chris Carson and Penny that we don't believe would be ready by the beginning.
Yeah, taking it back to that. That's an excellent point.
Can't come right in and play. But if it kind of moves forward, Zach Moss could walk into 20 touches game one as a true rookie.
Yeah.
There. I think in the long run, you probably take CEH and what he can do.
That Zach Moss situation sounds potentially juicy.
Right.
In a vacuum, Finero.
So does the pass catching running back in a Bruce Arians system led by Tom Brady.
Sure.
I mean, nobody's going to worry about him with Goodwin and Mike Evans on the outside either, right? Like, to me, it's more putting trust in a rookie running back with Tom Brady over at least early on what I expect to be very nice guaranteed touches on an offense that we know wants to run the ball.
Hmm. I hear you. And that's just it. Like I'm kind of like a workhorse over shared PPR back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if that were to happen, I'm man. And Seattle's been such a dumpster fire in the backfield outside of like Chris Carson hitting. Like there's always somebody there that I've wanted to buy into. So I don't want to get too excited, but I feel like I'm going to talk myself into Zach Moss.
He's the older guy too, right? So he automatically gets crapped on for that. He's one of the older running backs coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get credit for being durable. He's Utah's all-time leading rusher, right? Like you get shit on because you're old, but you played a lot, you know, right? You weren't really hurt and you led your whole school in rushing. I don't know. That's maybe we're too quick to get away from that. If the running back
it's Ronald Jones. It's Ronald Jones that I'm worried about. As stupid as that sounds, like I think he's still going to be enough of a part of that offense. And they have the tight ends. They have two nice wide receivers. So many weapons there. Like, how many targets is your third down back going to get?
I mean, I think CEH would work into whatever Ronald Jones is doing too.
Sure.
long as he doesn't miss that pass pro.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I feel like Sony like dropped one ball in a preseason game, and Brady was like, "I'm never throwing
to you again." You know what, though? You're so right, because I've been wondering, like, was that more Brady or was that more Belichick? Like, is it going to be different now with Brady not in New England? Like, can we not have to worry so much about failure of people like N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel?
I think Brady calls people out all the time. Yeah. You need to live up to Brady's standard or you're done.
Which is why a rookie running back scares me a little.
Yeah,
especially sure. One that I question their pass protection to begin with.
Yeah, so that one's close. I don't know.
All right, so I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire here. It is close, but I just think he's a better talent. I think Zach Moss is a whole tier below him. I think both are good landing spots on paper. I get all of your arguments, but I think he protects the ball well. He's not a fumbler. I think he can make people miss in tight spaces. He runs good routes out of the backfield, which is good for Brady. He just sounds like a running back that would work well with Brady, to be honest. So I think the combination, I hear what you're saying, Swags, about being worried about the other back. And, I think a lot of the NFL is moving to a two running back system. I think there's very few anymore that have one. So I think to be afraid of that anymore is kind of old school. So for me, this one is another easy one. I think I can make the argument that the Seahawks backfield is a freaking mess. And if you're not worried about it, in week one, two, three, or four, you're eventually going to have to worry about it.
That's the other thing. But so has Brady's running back always been. Maybe it's not Belichick's the evil running back. Maybe it is the Brady.
That is my concern. That is my concern. Yes.
To put this in context, not in the game, but for people listening, I'm not telling you to draft Zach Moss over Clyde Edwards-Helaire if this situation happens. I would draft Clyde and then trade him back and gain lots of stuff and then take Zach Moss at least a full half a round later, in this situation.
It's a smart move.
Right? The fact that he went to the Bucks probably means he is no later than wide receiver or running back five off the board. And Zach Moss, even with the Seahawks, even with the other stuff, is probably closer to 8, 9, 10 plus. Yep. Yep. So I just make sure that's not the same game.
Yeah, different game. Different game. All right, you guys ready for the second RB in this edition?
Yep.
This one's so weird.
Yeah, so this one's weird. I don't know if you'll catch the theme of this one. You probably will. A.J. Dillon to the Bills or Enno Benjamin to Tennessee, which I changed this on you guys, by the way. Benjamin was going somewhere else. I changed it to Tennessee 2 days ago, maybe. Or yet, I guess it was
the show sheet was on.
I'm not even good with what day it is today, so
Dylan to the Bills, Benjamin to Tennessee. So the theme is, are these guys compliments?
Yeah,
right. They're opposite compliments, yeah. But I hear you. It was the same. I think you had Benjamin going to the Jags, right?
Yes, it's the same correct, compliment sir. There. Yep. Yeah, I had him going to the Jags as part of one like of my factory quick takes. I like that more with
Gruden being there and wanting the third down running back, which is probably why you took that away, you joker.
Well, Titans. You can feel free to talk about this one for 10 minutes before you make a decision.
Right, and then still waffle and then make you guys pick opposites. Tennessee, so you're making him the pass catching down back there.
Correct.
But Deion Lewis didn't do anything, and I know we can say Deion Lewis isn't anything, but I think their guy they're going to utilize that way is A.J. Brown. I'm not saying he's a running back in the back, but he's the quick dump off guy, right? The Patriots used to, man, I hate that I'm going back to them every time. Patriots used to have that 3 yard out to like Wes Welker, right? That was their run game. I think that's what Tennessee's doing, and that's what A.J. Brown is moving forward. I don't know that I get much out of Enno Benjamin in Tennessee there. If you want to tell me Derrick Henry's gone next year and Eno's the guy,
part of the equation.
I think Tennessee would bring another running back in, and it would still be Eno sharing it. So I don't know that his role expands a whole lot. I think A.J. Dillon fits exactly what Buffalo wants to do. I don't know that hurts your Singletary a whole lot, and I was kind of hoping we could do that. But with A.J. Dillon there, I think that's – they would have two true roles for each other.
Yeah, very complementary roles.
A.J. Dillon is such a monster, 6'2", 47". And ran a 4.5.
Bruiser, fast.
97% speed, 97% burst.
Leaner than Henry, faster than Henry.
I've seen multiple 50-yard touchdown runs. This is not a guy that's just the goal line and I'm going to run you over. Yeah. I'm going to run you over and then I'm going to run past you. You see him carrying guys for extra yardage. He seems to know where first down markers are. It's easy to find where the goal line is, but I just see him carrying guys. I'm going to take AJ Dillon, and to me, this was the easiest one we did.
Yeah, I agree.
I also agree. So this is AJ Dillon with ease. I think Benjamin is going to drop in rookie drafts for sure. I think no one is interested in this guy. I gave him not a wonderful landing spot, with all that being said. Obviously, if Benjamin was to land for where you know one of these sweet spots are, Tennessee is clearly not one of the sweet spots. I know Swags will disagree and say the Bills is absolutely a sweet spot.
I mean, for somebody like Dillon, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I mean, anywhere he goes, I think he would have won this for me.
All right. You're a big fan.
I like the comp. Yeah. Yeah. I want that big back. Yep. Even if it takes a couple of years, I want him on my roster.
Nice.
More than
if, so you put not- him, if you put him back on Jacksonville, I like Eno a little bit more, but I'm still going AJ Dillon. But I think maybe he has a more defined role there in Jacksonville because we've seen Gruden always want to utilize a third down back. I don't know that Tennessee is really going to give that enough for it to matter.
Two totally different guys, two totally different college productions. But there's like this little thing in the back of my mind that's afraid of this athletic freak and thinks Kalen Ballage. Again, two totally different dudes. Kalen Ballage couldn't even start on his own college team. So we're not talking apples and apples here. But there is this little kind of athletic freak thing that concerns me a little bit. Like he could thrive in college and not make it to the next level. But like I said, already agreed with you guys. I'm AJ Dillon on this one.
Eno's fun to watch, right? And they do good like to
the
get
backfield
space. He has a really fun, like little quick sidestep. I almost wonder if he's too fast for his own good because I feel like I've seen him kind of shake guys in open field and it almost looks like he's going to fall down too. So I don't know if his balance is that great, but I've seen him in the hole just kind of take a little side shimmy, like forward jump, and like, wow, he's kind of sported through there real quick. But yeah, give me
a smaller guy. Smaller guy for sure.
Oh, 5'9", but still comes in at 207. You got to like that. He's
I think he came in at 207 for like he was like one of those combine guys that was shifting like weight. Yeah, like he was under 200 for a time. I think he beefed up to weigh in at the appropriate time and kind of trumped the system a little bit. All right, I think it's time to move on to tight ends, if you guys are ready.
Yep.
All right, so we got, I believe, what seems to be the consensus tight end one. I don't know if he's my consensus tight end one, to be honest with you. After the draft, he might be, because if he's the first tight end drafted, I'll probably change my mind. But Cole Kmet to the Bengals or Adam Trautman from the Senior Bowl to the Patriots.
I have heard a lot of rumors of Kmet being the first tight end off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Your Bengals one is interesting to me. I'm not a Drew Sample guy, but they spent a second round pick on him last year.
They did.
And then they let Eifert go and Eifert signed with the Jags. I think of where they'll have to take Kmet, that would, I think Sample is there enough. So we're just trying to put offensive weapons around Burrow to be there. I'm not a huge Trautman guy coming from Dayton. I'll be honest, I haven't watched a ton of film on him, but I've seen a little bit there. 6'5", 255 is nice. I think there's more. I don't want to just say it's Patriots and tight end, but there's more opportunity there in New England. So whichever guy you put in New England, I will take here.
Interesting. Our last guest was ready to move on from all New England weapons without Brady, thinking now that the Patriots is a bad landing spot. I think that's going to flip very quickly. I think that is something that people are feeling, and that's a reaction to obviously a very large piece leaving, but there's still a very large piece still there, and that's the coaching staff. So
we don't expect much from rookie tight ends, right?
Correct. We're
not coached to.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So
why you put him in the garden, do you drink?
Right, you put him in the garden. So Belichick, right, unless we believe he's retiring too, Brady got the best of him, can't do it without him, he's walking off all pissy, right? We all see that happening. No.
Yep.
Are you telling me they're not going to bring somebody in there? That defense is still built to win right now. The offense won't get it done and only got it done because it's Brady there. But you're telling me Belichick's just going to be like, well, I guess we'll go back to being 4-12 like before I got here. Pieces are coming, right? Does Troutman lose out in year one to Komet in this bet here with these landing spots? Possibly. But even so, if you're going to give me an athletic guy that's 6'5 for, let's call it Jared Stidham or something else that comes in there that's maybe a building block piece, it's easy to say they usually look to the tight end, right? That's the easy one. They kind of drop it down to. They play closer to it. The line, that's easier throw.
Yep.
I think there's more weapons in Cincinnati with where you put Komet. So he's going to be third, feels like a reach in his pecking order there at best, where Troutman could easily be the two. These are both gross, and they're rookie tight ends.
It's easily the grossest one of all.
I actually originally had tight end being the finale to this segment, and I moved it up because I just didn't want it to be the last thing we talked about. I moved quarterback below it because I'm like, this is kind of rough because, like, you know, I think no matter what we're talking about Dynasty. We always do on this show, but we're still always talking about year one. I mean, I don't care how you cut it. We all want to know year one, like everything you just said to Drink. I mean, you're saying that based on AJ Green being there this season, you know, that was a lot of your analysis was this season. And with that, in the same breath, you're like, but I also understand that I can't really even judge these guys based on this season because tight ends don't really even happen until year three and maybe even beyond. So
argue that Cincinnati's been more successful with less talented tight ends than what New England has. New England was successful with like Gronk and Hernandez, but they haven't made any other tight ends look pretty on paper at all.
It's not a new coaching staff. This coaching staff spent a second round pick on Drew Sample last year. Round pick on a good team.
We're not high second.
I think he's closer to being ready. I know that's
whether or not we're not arguing whether or not they're going to get drafted there, though. It's what would happen if they are there,
right? And I'm telling you, there's more pieces there because of what they've already done.
And you're saying I'm a more mature piece. So Drew Sample has been growing in the tight end garden for a year, and he's more likely to get these opportunities year one. And if he even produces a little bit, it puts Komet on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I have Komet as a higher ranked prospect, you know, tight end, but it honestly this year it means a lot less than it's meant for most other years. Maybe I've been burned in the years past on tight ends too, but this crop just seems like even if they were going to be good, they were going to have to be so good to kind of match up where we've put other tight ends in the past, Hockenson and Fant last year. These guys aren't close to that.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not going out of my way for any of these guys.
Even in a one quarterback rookie draft, I'm going to take a lot of quarterbacks before I take these tight ends.
Yep.
So I'll just play the other side a little bit. So there's going to be a couple reasons I go Cole Komet on this one. The first is going to be I feel like Notre Dame didn't really use him to his talents. I feel like he was underutilized there. So I think that he has an opportunity to show more than we think. I think we're basing it on his college production, and we're judging this entire class just gets thrown into the same bucket. I mean, there's obviously four guys, I guess, that get ascended from the entire class, but they're all considered mediocre. Yet every time I see any sort of mock, Cole Komet is in the first round or two. I mean, I even see him in the first round or two. So I think the NFL likes him. I think he's actually going to go that high. I think it's totally possible. Other than the exception of what Tudrink had pointed out, which is the second round investment. And what I'll say about the second round investment is, you know, Baltimore spent significant draft capital in the same draft. I know it was crazy, but in the same draft for a tight end. And I think it's not crazy for them to maybe see what they saw in Drew Sample and say, okay, well, this guy's a good blocker. We still need him, right? We still don't think that's a wasted pick, but Cole Komet could change the position. And then you throw in the fact that they're going to get Burrow. So I just kind of want to be attached to that. I'd rather be attached to that than whoever the hell is playing in New England at quarterback, which nobody knows at this point, and is still hanging on the Gronkowski thing.
When I look at that pick, I get that's not that necessarily part of your game, but then you're telling me that after Cincy takes Burrow in the top of round two, because that's where their pick is, they either trade up into the first round to get Komet, which seems crazy, or they decide at, you know, round two, pick one, that Kmet is now the guy that we need moving forward.
Yeah, and that's so now he's going
to slide a lot farther down for that, for him to get there. I don't know. Yeah,
the only way the Bengals draft him is that they go Burrow Kmet, and that's hard to see. But again, we're not so playing that game. We're not playing that game here.
I play all kinds of games.
The game we're playing is this is where they landed, and which one do you prefer more? And if he actually went there, because Burrow. Swags, what do you think?
I tried to say what I thought a while ago.
Oh, did we cut you off?
I'm going Kmet here.
Okay, and why?
I don't know.
Because I went the other way.
Definitely, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't. I'm not buying into the whole New England Patriots thing. I don't know. I don't think we've seen it much. We saw a really talented tight end be successful there, and he should have been.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know.
All right. Quarterback edition. Jacob Eason to the Saints. That's a sweet spot. Or Jalen Hurts to the Colts.
These are both nice spots. And before, yeah, they are. Before Indy went and got Phillip Rivers, they were definitely being mocked to have him in the first. Then the Colts went and traded for DeForest Buckner and moved that first. So now I don't have a first round pick.
I would say any person's going to rank Hurts over Eason.
Yep, that's fair. Mm-hmm. If I know that we're waiting a full year on both of these guys, does that change your mind? And I'm not even talking about COVID. I'm just talking about Hurts sitting behind Rivers for the full year, Eason sitting behind Breeze. If you believe that this is really the last year of Breeze, and Easton's starting a starting job, that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah,
Breeze feels like he's more mobile than Easton. Easton feels like a statue back there. But the kid has an absolute rocket and can make any NFL throw. It feels like he can do it flat-footed because he just lets it go and rips it. Hurts I feel behind like
Rivers, though, I don't think he's as good as Breeze.
No, that's fair.
Oh, definitely.
I'm not saying that, but I don't know.
He's probably more likely to be yanked from the game. Rivers. Yeah,
but that's why
I don't think anybody's taking it from Breeze though, unless he gets hurt.
Well, no, that's why I said I'm assuming probably both of these guys are waiting a year at this point.
Yeah,
I like that assumption. I would assume that for both. Yes,
I think unless Rivers gets hurt or Indy somehow like goes in the tank, it's his team all year, and Hurts is sitting back and learning, which. Honestly, it's probably a great thing for him. Maybe he can shore up some of that decision making. He seems to take a little too long if I'm trying to nitpick here. But he seems like an awesome, not just quarterback, but weapon to have behind Andy's O-line.
Yeah.
And those maulers there, Hurts is a phenomenal runner in space. He doesn't have to be the fastest guy, but he's quick for quarterback, 4.59, 40. That's moving. And he's not a little guy. He's 220 plus pounds. I think you should take Hurts in this scenario here. But that's one of the best landing spots I've seen for Eason that are out there.
Yeah. This is one of those ones where it's a little closer it's a little closer to what we did last week, which was to merge a better landing spot with maybe a less perceived prospect. And then a less landing spot with a better perceived prospect. So you can kind of struggle with that decision. I think anyone before I say any more, because I know I really want to hear Swags thinks about Taysom Hill and that situation with Jacob Eason.
I think he's a gadget player.
Good.
But,
so do
but to
I.
To me, it has nothing to do with it. It's Breeze versus Rivers to me. And I don't know. I could see them feeling like they went the wrong direction with Rivers at some point halfway through the season and giving Hurts a try, whereas I don't think Breeze will ever get yanked from a game as long as he's healthy.
If we're talking about 1 year, I agree with you that Jalen Hurts has a better chance to start year one than Eason. But if we're talking about year two, I could see Breeze moving on after this 1 year season.
Yeah,
I think we know Rivers is going to. He only has a 1 year contract, I believe. Breeze has a 2 year contract. Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going Hurts just because of that. I don't think the Colts is a bad situation.
Is that what
you did for Nero?
I think Hurts is also the better talent. So yeah, I'm going to go there. I think Rivers was on the decline to begin with, and I think Hurts could learn a lot from Rivers. Rivers is a good quarterback. He just isn't anymore. Where Breeze to Swag's points, you could actually see Breeze squeaking out too. I don't think it's likely, but he could. And Rivers is not going to. Rivers is done after this season. So Hurts is starting year two. And I think he has a chance to start in year one if again, the Colts aren't doing well and they want to see what they want to see Hurts play, you know, in a real game. And who knows? I mean, he's that off-platform kind of guy that everybody likes to fall in love with. And I think he does need to sit for a while if he's going to get that amazing opportunity. I think that landing spot and talent is just too hard for me to resist. I think I got to pick the combo. Eason is one of those ones where it's just like, yeah, but. You know what I mean? Like, in that system. Same thing with the Belichick thing, right? He's like, yeah, but. Like, he could be the next Drew Brees on the Saints. I just feel like that's a reach. I'm going to go Hurts and the Colts.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna stop it for 1 second, and we're going to flip them. Because I didn't use any reverse during this then. So let's go Superflex style there. So can we flip Ertz and Eason's landing spot, and does it change for you then?
Not
for me.
You messed up my narrative, but again. I still want Hurts.
You messed up my narrative.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Hurts as well, so I'm sticking with the guy.
So you're going to sit a full year behind Breeze?
Yes.
And wait on your chance at next year or the year after, since you just gave him two. Right. Possibly and that and possibly two. Yep. But yep. You know that Eason is the starter next year because you just said Rivers is only giving you one max, and maybe he's
correct.
Maybe Eason even comes in at the end of the season since Rivers sucks right. So bad, apparently.
Yep.
So you're gonna take Hurts not getting any points this year over Eason starting back half of this year.
Well, but that's correct. What you were just willing to do with Eason on the other side.
Well, that's why I flipped it for you, Jokers.
I'm gonna do it. Yes.
Yeah, I want
quarterbacks Hurts. Play a very long time in this
in this scenario. This thing we call the NFL. In this scenario, I don't see Breeze being healthy for the entire season.
Possibility.
Does Hurts take away some of the gadget play role of Taysom Hill in year one in this scenario? Do they immediately start trying to find a way to get Hurts on the field? Do we get Hurts? And Taysom Hill and Breeze. Do we get three quarterbacks?
Maybe a little. That's just crazy.
Well, let's get crazy.
Maybe once or twice. Maybe once or twice during the season to show off.
I could see Peyton just salivate and like,
yeah,
reverse.
All right. So Finero, earlier today, we put together a little bit of a rapid fire for you. You always are the one putting them together and throwing them at people. And I thought you deserved to kick back tonight and have a little to yourselves.
All right, give it to me.
It's coming, you want it, baby. It's coming.
You said something that had something to do with poop?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have no poop ones on there.
That'd be fun if it had something to do with poop. I
don't know why you thought of that.
Earlier I said something. I said something about shit, and you're like, oh, it's kind of related to that. Huh. You can play it back. You'll see. Give it to me. What do we got? How many and is there like a
all
subject?
My poop questions.
There's
left.
Three questions in 1 minute.
Okay, is there a subject or anything?
There is
like
no
that?
Theme.
No theme-ish.
You didn't do any.
Oh, I'm messing with him. Are you ready, Mr. Feverish?
I believe so. I believe so. Now I know how our guests feel. This is a little unnerving.
All right. Which do you prefer, fish and chips? Or chicken and fried chicken or chicken fried steak? Fish and chips or chicken fried steak?
Fish and chips.
Hey, we're gonna start over. Did you forget
know
the rules
your own
to the game?
Rules.
Now you your get. Game. I'm adding a question, dude.
Give them that poop one I had.
The poop one. Okay.
This is the worst rapid fire ever.
Well,
what's happening?
Just messed it up. Yeah, I had to add a question to it. I had to
wait,
add a
I
question.
Messed it up?
Yeah, you answer the question after the timer.
He doesn't even know.
After I start the timer.
I think we probably could have let that go.
No, sir. Not
That's
for
not
you.
How this works.
All right. So, fish and chips or chicken fried steak?
Fish and chips.
Favorite animated Disney movie?
The one with the fishes.
Would you like to pass, sir?
The fishes. No, the fish.
The fish.
The fish.
The Little Mermaid?
Rescue
Down
Under. No,
the other fish. The one where he gets lost.
Dory.
Yeah, no.
Did you want Dory or Finding Nemo?
Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo.
You killed that one.
Sounds like your favorite.
Next.
Who did the Giants draft with their first pick?
Last season, Daniel Jones.
This coming season. Who will they? Who do they? Who will they?
That Wilkes guy, that offensive lineman Wilkes.
A rookie wide receiver you do not want to own this next season. Like somebody you think you won't draft.
This one coming up.
Yeah, so, but who won't you? The one you're...
Horrible. Two drinks, disgusted.
You can only buy one. Toilet paper
or hand sanitizer. One dude I don't want.
Toilet paper or hand sanitizer.
Oh, wait, this is a new question?
Yes.
You only get one.
We moved on.
All right, what was the question?
Toilet paper or hand sanitizer?
Hand sanitizer.
I feel bad, like I should give you more time.
You can always use water on your butt.
Yeah. Why is a bad joke like a bad pencil?
You can't erase it?
It has no point.
Oh, that was close.
What is the world's longest fart?
You just named a piece of a pencil.
World's longest fart.
The world's longest what?
Fart. The world's longest fart.
Oh, like time-wise, how long was that?
Yes.
2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes.
No, it did not. Not quite as long as it took you to answer this 1 minute worth of questions, but 59 seconds.
Nice.
Oh, all right. So about as long as the average rapid fire. This is not the average rapid fire.
I feel like that's my fault. Well, if you want to take the blame, I was going to blame Finero.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been blamed. I'll take it. I literally jumped the gun by a second and a half. We had to start the whole thing over again.
Like, completely honestly, cheers. I wanted to do an acronym challenge for you, so you're lucky you got this.
Ooh.
Oh, acronym challenge. That would be cool.
Two drinks. That's like my thanks favorite. Thanks a ton for coming on this evening.
Always, buddy.
Yeah, dude, thanks a lot, man.
Tell them who you are and all the amazing places to find in you.
@FLTrueDrinkMinim is where you can find me. I'm also over at Fantasy Football Breakdown at @FF_Breakdown. I do that with my voice Swags. You can check us at Superflex, Superflexible Podcast, and I'm running at Superflex Pod. So hit all that up. We'll get your post retweeted. Maybe bring it on the show. Check those shows out. But I always love coming on Rookie Fever. Appreciate you both, Swags, for now.
Yeah, we love having you. Thanks a ton for being here. He is at @ArtBarkTV. I am at @DFF_swag. Follow @RookieFever. You guys got 10 seconds all to yourselves.
Hey, two drink. What do you burn more calories doing? Sleeping or watching TV?
Is it a scary movie?